You know, as I was listening to that beautiful song, there's one line in it that really just warmed my heart. And it said, "Have faith in God, for he is on his throne." And what a beautiful thought that is today. That no matter what you're going through today, no matter whether you're at a good place in your life, God's on the throne. Whether you're in a difficult season, God's on his throne. And what a beautiful thing that is. As we turn our attention to God's Word, I invite you to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 15. And we're going to read through the end of the chapter, verse 24. And in your bulletins, it says we're going to go on to chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I felt led at the last moment to kind of cut it off at verse 24. So we're going to end, and we're just going to focus on verses 15 through 24 this morning. "Because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on the way to Macedonia and on the way back from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I call God as my witness. I stake my life on it, that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Not that we lorded over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm." The word of God for the people of God. Well, this morning we continue in our sermon series for Lent called Giving Up. And we've spent the last few weeks focusing on different things that we're called to give up as we draw closer to the Lord. And if you remember the first week, we talked about giving up control. And then the peace that comes when we finally give up control. We also talked about giving up popularity and then that desire to be liked by everybody. And when we set that aside and we focus on, you know what, it's the most important thing is that God loves me. And that's going to be my chief aim, the freedom that comes from that. And then we also talked about giving up superiority and how one of the dangers in the Christian life is we can kind of put ourselves on our own pedestal and look down upon everybody else. Well, this morning we're going to talk about expectations and giving them up. Now, expectations might seem like an odd thing to include in this sermon series. After all, expectations are a good thing. I mean, it's good that I have expectations for my son. It's good that I have expectations for my wife, or rather she has them for me. Expectations are good to have. It's good that when I pray, I actually expect God to answer, right? But what happens when we have expectations that go unmet? What happens when we pray and we don't get the answer we're looking for? What happens if we set a course in our life and make plans, and then all of a sudden as things unfold, the plans that we thought were going to unfold end up going in a completely different direction? What happens when we put our expectations in someone and they let us down? How do we deal with that? How do we process that? You know, all of us have expectations. Every single one of us in every single facet of life, whether we're going to work, whether we're in our homes, there are expectations that people have. You know, Missy always takes the kids to school, and I'm left there, and one expectation is that before I leave, I'll do the dishes, and I'll clean up the kitchen, and I'll make the bed, because I'm usually still sitting on it watching the morning news. And so that's an expectation, since sometimes I leave the house with that unfinished in the hopes that I can beat her home and get it done before she walks in the door. And sometimes I have to call her if I know she's going to beat me, and I'll say, there's a chance that the dishes weren't done this morning. And she looks at me, and she doesn't look at me because she's on the phone, and she says, really, is there just a chance of that? Or are they really not done? And I say, of course they're not done. But that's what expectations can do. But when they go unmet, now that's a humorous thing. What happens when there's an expectation that goes unmet and it hurts? And we feel betrayed. And we feel let down. You know, what if we feel like God promised us something and then it doesn't come through? What do we do with that kind of hurt? You see, whether it is with God or people, when our expectations fail to match our experiences, frustration and doubts increase. We begin to doubt people's intentions or even God's. And we begin to question their competency and wonder if they're truly capable of what they've promised or what we think that they've promised. You know, when I was in college, I tell everybody I worked at McDonald's all the way through, but I did kind of veer off and work in other places for a brief moments in time, and one of them is I got a job at the Golden Corral that lasted 1.5 weeks. It's the shortest job stint I ever had, and it was that short for one reason. I did not get fired. I made one request. I would like to be off on days where I can go to church. And then they make a schedule a month in advance, and they had me working every Wednesday and every Sunday. And so I went to the manager and I said, you know, you agreed when I came on to work for you that I could have off Wednesdays and Sundays. And they said, well, the schedule's set, it's too late, so you got to work Wednesdays and Sundays. And I said, well, make a new schedule. And he didn't want to, and so I said, well, I'll tell you what, you can just fill my spot because I'm going to quit. And I quit, and I went right back to working at McDonald's, flipping those burgers. But those expectations, they matter. That's what's going on in this passage. The people of Corinth are upset with Paul because Paul had said he was going to come and see him on his way to Macedonia, and on his way from Macedonia. And Paul's plans were changed. And God had something else in store. And so the people of Corinth were accusing Paul of being fickle. They were accusing Paul of making his decisions based upon worldly wisdom. They were accusing Paul of looking out for himself and caring only about him and not about them. And needless to say, this hurt Paul greatly. And so he responds to them in love and in kindness, and he writes this letter that we call 2 Corinthians to let them know why he couldn't be there with them in person. And so as he deals with them, what we're going to find is how God is calling us to deal with those unmet expectations in our lives. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got some unmet expectations. Maybe your unmet expectations has to do with a relationship. Or maybe it has to do with your workplace. Or maybe your unmet expectations has to do with something you feel that God has promised you or guaranteed in His Word, and then all of a sudden, it just seems to be unraveling before your very eyes. And you hurt. Just like the people in Corinth were hurting when their expectations were going unmet. And so God gives us some concrete things in this passage that we can do to deal with those unmet expectations. When unmet expectations hold you back, what we find is that you can find healing in a return to the basics. Notice what Paul does here. He doesn't go on this big tirade about defending himself. He doesn't say, well, listen, I know I had planned to do this, but God came in and I had to spend more time in this city and they threw stones at me and they threw me in prison. He doesn't go through any of that. He says, no, remember when I told you about Jesus? Remember when I told you about how he died on the cross for you? Remember when I told you about how he was God in the flesh? Remember when I told you about how much he loved you, about how he's redeemed you, about how coming to faith in him is the key to life and the key to a relationship with God? And so Paul doesn't focus on himself. Instead, he turns his attention back to the basics. He turns and he says, hey, I know you're expectations aren't being met, but let me tell you, Christ will always meet your expectations. You see, when we feel hurt by expectations that remain unmet, God always has an answer for us in Jesus Christ. As we see him work through this passage, he says, yes, Jesus is the very Son of God. What is he saying? In Christ's identity, there's healing. In Christ's identity, what do we find? We find worth, right? How amazing is it to know that God became flesh for you? That he left heaven for you? That he died on the cross for you? That our King became one of us, laying down all of his divinity so that he could save you? Laying down all that power and all that authority, he became a servant for you. In Christ's identity, we find his worth and we find our own worth as a child who is loved by God. In Christ's ministry, we find love. His ministry was a ministry of redemption. Why did he come? Why did he lay all that down? Why did he leave from heaven on high to come to earth down below to redeem you? To do for you what you could not do for yourself? To set you free from the chains of sin and death? You see, in Christ's ministry, we find love. And in Christ's office, we find protection. What is Christ doing now? He's our mediator. He's intercessing for you right at this very moment. You have an advocate, we're told in the scriptures, who is speaking on your behalf right now to the Father. He's our prophet, our priest, our king, our savior, our redeemer. The list goes on and on and on. And in each of these offices, we find his protection. Reflecting upon the gospel always brings healing to a person's heart and purpose to their life. Because in him there are no contradictions. They felt like in Paul that he was contradicting himself over and over. Well, your yes really means no and your no really means yes. And Paul's like, look at Jesus. Everything is yes in him. Every promise that has been made has been fulfilled in him and will always be fulfilled in him. You know, from time to time I get asked to write a reference letter for people or to give a reference over the phone, and I always wish that they would. Most people ask me to give them a reference. One time somebody didn't, and then this person we actually had to fire from work. And amazingly, that person still wanted to use me as a reference for their next job. And I like to be honest. And so I said, well, I'll be honest. I liked him as a person, but I didn't like him as a worker. He was late all the time, missed shifts all the time. And, you know, do what you will with that information. But he's not a bad guy. But he definitely wasn't a good worker. And I'm glad when it comes to Christ, I never have to worry about making any kind of recommendation that isn't true. There's no pressure to try and make someone look better than they are. Everything we say about Christ is true from beginning to end. What a joy that is. When I go out there and I talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, I never have to wonder, oh, I hope he comes through for them the way he did for me. No, I know he'll come through for them the way that he came through for me. What a joy that is. How freeing is that? That the story we're telling is the absolute truth has revealed of God. So when we have unmet expectations, getting back to the basics can provide healing. Also, when unmet expectations hold you back, you can find refuge in God's guaranteed presence. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. He gives us another reason here why his words and ministry can be trusted. It's the Holy Spirit. He says, don't you remember all you who came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who have surrendered your life to him, that the Holy Spirit is now dwelling in you, that he is with you? Haven't you experienced that? Don't you remember when you received the Holy Spirit, when your spirit was regenerated, when you became a new person and you were transformed? You know, Scripture uses the term, he's given to us in earnest. Basically, it's like an earnest payment that is a down payment or a guarantee for a contract. When you give an earnest, it's like you saying, I'm in this, and you're in it for real. When God seals you with the Holy Spirit, it's God saying, I'm serious about this. I'm serious about every promise that I've ever made. In fact, I'm so serious that here's your earnest, the Holy Spirit. He is going to set you apart to be mine forever. And here in this life, we get to experience that grace that is called the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And it's an indication of the blessings that we can experience in the future when we're all in heaven with the Lord forever. You know, the Apostle Paul could have just as easily had hardened feelings. He could have got upset with God. After all, he's like, God, I had these plans. You knew I had these plans. You led me in a different direction, and now everybody's being mean to me about it. But notice, he never has a twinge of anger in his heart. He doesn't cry out to God. He runs to God. He doesn't flee from the Spirit. He embraces the Spirit, and he tells us to do the same when our expectations are going unmet. You see, instead of getting upset about unmet expectations and ruined plans, it is far better to be honest and to just ask God about it. Far, far better. And so I've got a few questions that I would ask you to think about this morning, about your expectations, about when they're going unmet and you feel hurt over them. Here's some things you can ask God. Are my expectations aligned with God's will? Paul knew that it was the Lord's will that he didn't go to Corinth at that time, that God had other plans. And so he let go of the pain of those unmet expectations because he knew God had a different plan, a better plan. And wouldn't you know it, this letter that he wrote to them, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is now being read in churches here and everywhere. If he would have just went in person and did some teaching, we might not have 2 Corinthians. But instead, he sent this letter inspired by the Holy Spirit to them, and it's teaching us even now, revealing God's truth and love and mercy. Are my expectations aligned with God's will? Are my expectations consistent with God's word? Unrealistic expectations are harmful to a person's life. You know, before I went on my very first date, I was talking with my dad and my grandfather, and they shared with me some things I should look for, some things I should make sure to do, open the door, for the girl I was taking on a date, and this is back when I was 15, and they went through all these things, and then they said, here's what you should look for out of the other person. Number one, when you open the door and let them get in and sit down, make sure that they reach to the other side to unlock it for you. And this is what my grandfather said. He said, if the girl doesn't do that for you, don't take her on a second date. And so these expectations, right, that they're just getting planted on me. I'm not saying I used them, but I'm saying they were given to me. Another one was, if when you take her out to dinner, if she orders the most expensive thing on the menu, maybe you don't need to take her out again. Right? All these expectations. And I'll tell you, Missy actually reached over, unlocked the door for me, and ordered something cheap on the menu. So we've been together ever since. But the idea of these expectations, those ones that I just shared, they're not found anywhere in God's Word. It doesn't say in 2 Samuel, and when you take a girl out to dinner, make sure that she reaches across and, you know, or helps you up onto the camel or whatever they had back then. No, none of that's there. What is there? A lot of our expectations are nowhere in God's Word. We just have them. We just make them, and then we get so disappointed, and we wonder why God's not coming through, and God's sitting there saying, I never promised you that. I never told you that I was going to do this thing. I never told you life was going to be easy. I never told you you were never going to suffer medically. I never told you that you would never get disappointed. What did I tell you? That I'll always be with you. That I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That whether you go up to the heights, I am there. Whether you make your bed in the depths, you'll find me there too. That's what God promises. So are my expectations even consistent with God's Word? And then are my expectations united with God's timing? Sometimes we're too impatient. Right? We live in a society that demands everything now. And God says, I live outside of time. Your little ideas about time means absolutely nothing to me. And then we're trying to hold God accountable to these arbitrary time frames that we've made up that, again, are not found anywhere in God's Word. And so are my expectations united with God's timing? How many Christians have spent time angry with God or God's people, all because they had expectations of something that God never promised? How many more were expecting something that was never a part of God's plans or a part of His will? And how many more gave up because they lacked the ability to be patient? Expectations can be a good thing, but they can also lead us into heartache. And last thought, when expectations hold you back, you can find restoration through shifting your focus to others. You know, this whole letter screams of Paul's care for the people of Corinth. And he talks to them, and he says, we don't lord our leadership over you. I don't sit up on high and look down upon you. No, I come right alongside you. I walk with you, I love you, and it's my joy to see your love of God increase. In other words, one of the keys to healing of unmet expectations is to saying, you know what? I've laid that at God's feet. I figured out why that expectation wasn't met. Now I'm going to turn my attention to God's people, and I'm just going to love them. I'm just going to cherish them. I once heard a testimony from a woman who was struggling with depression, and it was actually here at our church in this very sanctuary, and she said, you know, I was just consumed by my depression. I was overwhelmed by it. And she, you know, she came from a family that were all gospel singers, and she felt ashamed because here she was singing all these gospel songs about the Lord while at the same time dying inside because she was riddled with depression. And she said, as I took it to the Lord and went to Him, He said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to spend as much time focusing on those around you as right now you're focusing on yourself. Just start walking alongside them. Just start being with them. Just start helping them in any way that you can. And see what that does to your heart. And so she said, I just started doing it. And the Bridge Ministry that is here in Nashville today, it's here because the Lord laid that message upon her heart to focus on someone else. That's what Paul's doing in this passage. He's not trying to win a debate. He's trying to point people to Christ. What a joy that would be if we followed that example. If we made it our ambition, you know what? I'm going to take my unmet expectations. I'm going to get back to what I know to be true about God. I'm going to take those expectations, lay them at God's feet. I'm going to embrace the Holy Spirit who is living and dwelling within me. And I'm just going to focus on loving everybody around him the way that God does. Giving up expectations. They're not all bad. We need them. After all, expectations are a part of having faith. But when they're holding you back, one of the best things you can do is give them up. It's my hope and prayer that the Lord will lead you to do that today. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know that a lot of the expectations we have in life were never given to us by you. We pray that you would forgive us for that. Forgive us for holding people to standards that are not yours. Forgive us for holding you to promises that you never made. Instead, Lord, help us to find our refuge in you. And help us to remember that there's healing to be found in your presence. And there's restoration to be found in just loving your people. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning. If you have an unmet expectation in your heart that you know is causing you all kinds of pain this morning, let this be the day that you take that first step and you come down to this altar and you say, Lord, I don't want to carry this anymore. I don't want to be angry about this anymore. I just want to take this unmet expectation and say, here you go. Because I know that in Christ, all expectations, those are the ones that are truly met. I want to have the right ones instead of these ones that are holding me back. Come down to this altar as you feel led to by the Holy Spirit. You can pray in your seat or you can come down here. But let's not let another week go by that we keep carrying anger, resentment, frustration, and bitterness all over unmet expectations when all we have to do is begin the process of letting God heal us from them.